Oh, good morning, Professor. How was your weekend? Oh. I'm sorry to hear that. Well, I mean, I hope things get better for you soon. Me? Oh, I was here working. Well, I know I just started last week, but I'm very excited to be working with you, Professor. So I spent the last couple of days just kind of getting familiar with the lab, reviewing some of the latest research data, and just, you know, kind of getting the lay of the land. I want to make a good impression. Oh, no, I wasn't alone. No, I don't have my own key card yet for the lab. Mr. Childers was here with me. He actually suggested it. What? Cold? Well, why would I be cold? Okay. well, I mean, thank you for your concern, but I'd appreciate if you kept, you know, your comments about my appearance to yourself, even if they aren't complimentary. Anyway, I guess, you know, I just want you to know that you won't regret hiring me. I am fully up to speed on the latest neuroscientific theories and drug therapies. And, you know, again, I just spent the weekend at the lab because I wanted to get up to speed with what you've been working on here as fast as possible. Huh? I'm sorry, your wife? Oh. That's too bad. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, look, I'm sorry, but can I just interrupt you for a second? Because I know I asked how your weekend was before, but the truth is I was just being polite. I don't really think that I'm the appropriate person to talk to about any marital problems you might or might not be having. So, yeah? Okay. No, it's okay. I mean, this kind of thing actually happens to me surprisingly often. Professor, can I be honest with you about something? Okay, I think it's best to just say this up front. I know that I am inexperienced and fresh out of grad school, and I'm also obviously a female, and I know that I try to be friendly. Okay, that's just who I am. And because I'm young and some people think that I'm attractive, that can make it harder for me to gain the respect that I deserve among the largely male-dominated field of neuroscientific research. And honestly, it's something that all women struggle with in this field, in any STEM field, actually. And yeah, I mean, I'm not upset or anything. I know that well-intentioned males sometimes don't realize that they're playing into or succumbing to sexist stereotypes and behaviors, especially when they feel insecure, right, about being around somebody who is confident and intelligent and young and a woman. So, no, I don't mean to imply that you're doing anything like that intentionally, Professor. I just find it's best to be upfront and honest about these boundaries, you know, from the get-go. Excuse me. I mean, I don't want you to get the wrong impression. I'm not really here, you know, to be your friend, right? I'm not some kind of confidant or, cheerleader, I suppose, that you could come to whenever you're having trouble with your personal life. I mean, I graduated in the top 5% of my class, and I have 2 degrees. One is in neuroscience, as you know, and another is in pharmaceutical science. I mean, so I am your colleague, equal. And given the historical disparity of respect and standing women struggle with in the scientific community, I just think that it's a good idea if we fight against that, you know, and by keeping things purely professional. I'm here for the research. And if I may make a suggestion, I really don't think that you should bring your personal problems to the lab at all, okay? And I especially don't think that you should be making disparaging comments about your wife here. And to be honest, full disclosure, I mean, I had to have this talk with Mr. Childers as well. So, you know, I don't want to get him into trouble or anything. I don't think it was anything he was aware he was doing. It's just, I do think it's important that he be made aware of these latent sexist attitudes Just like I'm trying to make you aware, okay? Despite your ignorance. So that you can do better next time. Because it's important, yeah? Yeah. There are no hard feelings. No, not at all. And thank you. Thank you for understanding. Yeah, and I know that I talked to you about this in our interview, and so I figured you'd probably be okay with a little reminder. And really, Mr. Childers didn't do anything wrong, so I would appreciate it if you didn't discipline him this time, okay? And maybe you could just set up an office-wide sexual harassment seminar or something. You know, a little refresher course of training. That way everybody can benefit from it, and he won't feel singled out. Yeah? Thank you. I'm glad we got the air cleared out here. Why are you laughing? Is this something funny? Oh, well, thank you. Well, that's why you hired me, right? Because I'm honest and sure of myself and I can hold my own in a male-dominated environment. Well, thank you again. Anyways, I did have some questions about some of the data on one of the drugs that you're developing. Well, specifically, this Cortitasc, a drug candidate your lab has been working on for the last, what, it looks like 5 years, yeah? I'm a little confused as to why we're still working on it. I mean, because it's obviously never going to be approved by the FDA. Excuse me? Could you repeat that? Oh my gosh. Oh dear. Okay, for a second there. Oh, for a second there, it sounded like you said something else. Phew. Well, that would have been very awkward considering that we just got through having that conversation. Hop up on the lab counter? Yes, sir. Okay. Well, anyway, it's certainly a fascinating pharmaceutical, okay, and I understand its potential. A compound that literally compartmentalizes the human brain, right? Allowing the subject to make use of a much higher percentage of the brain's potential than we normally do. So, in effect, it allows someone to time slice, yeah, and multitask complex thought processes much more efficiently, potentially unlocking much higher levels of intelligence and analytical and inductive reasoning. It's remarkable. It's a remarkable premise, but Professor, it's also fundamentally flawed. And I, what? Yeah, it's you know, my skirt. It is really short, isn't it? Anyways, I have been looking at the data, and I mean, in practice, it doesn't seem that the drug has worked that way. I mean, it seems. Ow, Professor. What are you doing down there? Of course I didn't wear panties. Why would I? Anyways, as I was saying, I have memorized this data, and I found that early trials did, in fact, increase brain utilization by approximately 25%, which is impressive. It is. But it seems like, in practice, the tasks were clearly and definitively separated into conscious and unconscious processes. Okay, and one task was completed with great acuity and efficiency, while the brain was clearly occupied with another task on a subconscious level, yeah, to the point where the subject was not even aware of what was happening. I mean, this is what I gathered in my reading of the data and my memorization. Yes, sir. Yes, they are spread open, sir. Ouch! Ow! Sir, I told you, they're already spread open as wide as I can. Yes, sir. Well, no, it seems to be a fundamental feature of the drug. Well, as near as I can tell, there's no way to push those subconscious thought processes and behaviors into the conscious mind. No, but it is important, I think. There are sticky ethics concerns, Professor. Guidelines exist across several disciplines, including the medical field and neurosciences, that are very persnickety about the consequences of unintended side effects that will no doubt indefinitely delay the clinical approval of this drug by the FDA. Ow! Ow! Professor! You're squealing too hard. My legs... I bruise easily. Okay? No! What I'm getting at is this, okay? It does take a little inductive reasoning, though, so please try your best to follow through with my train of thought, okay? The problem with the drug, and specifically the problem with this dichotomous conscious-subconscious multitasking effect, is that the chemical compound, it could be targeted to specific parts of the brain. It could be used in tandem with suggestive triggers or hypnotic influence to initiate an entire suite of persistent and ongoing behaviors in the subject that they're completely unaware of. In effect, and I know this sounds outrageous, but it could be used as a pharmacological means of mind control, and as groundbreaking and exciting as the prospect is. It's completely and wholly unethical. It would be like a doctor cutting into somebody's brain to do research on them while they're still alive. Only this is doing it to their mind, with consequences. They're just as invasive and irreversible. Ooh, without any consideration to one of the major tenets of Hippocrates' treatise called Of the Epidemics. Which is, by the way, commonly mistaken to be part of the Hippocratic Oath. Versus do no harm. God. I mean, I could give you an example I thought of. How this drug is, might be used if it somehow made its way into the wrong hands. Do you want to hear it? Yes, sir. You want me on my knees first? Yes, sir. Well, let's take the example of the typical neuroscience lab, in which most employees are sexless males, yes, with the exception of a single female research assistant. Granted, this is an extreme example, but I think that it's important to illustrate my... What if you, for example, were to give me, for example, this drug, and you were looking for a specific subconscious side effect, okay? Let's say, suspend our disbelief here and say that you find me attractive and you are unhappy with your wife, huh? Maybe you wish you could make me do things sexually that she refused to do, and you wanted to use me to cheat on her. Of course, I would never agree to have sex with you consciously. We both know that, Professor, but with the proper tuning of the drug, which could be delivered without my knowledge, like in my morning coffee, for example, and the proper suggestive influences, which could be delivered through an email, a text on my phone, or a unique offensive phrase that you might speak to me and I immediately forget, you could very quickly make me compliant with your sexual advances in such a way that I was never consciously aware of. It's completely within the realm of possibility that you could be using me for sex and I wouldn't even know. My brain would completely block it out. I'm serious, Professor. You could be doing the most obscene and disgusting thing that I could possibly think of to me right now. Kind of things that would stimulate your sexist male brain and reinforce your worldview that an attractive young women like me really have no place in a scientific lab. Or, for that matter, a useful place in society beyond my suitability for becoming a sex toy. Or some breeding whore to satisfy the male patriarchy. And I wouldn't even be conscious of it. This drug would be so efficient at hiding what you'd done to me and compartmentalizing this activity in my brain that it's likely the only way it would manifest itself in my conscious mind is this some kind of persistent, recurring, embarrassing sexual fantasy or daydream, I suppose, during my periods of most advanced mental activity. Oh, good morning, Dr. Wilson. Yes, of course I remember our meeting. I'll see you in there in about 10 minutes, okay? Yeah, okay. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, sir. Yes, sir. I'll bend over the counter again, okay? I'll see you later, Dr. Olson. Anyway, those daydreams, they would no doubt trigger automatic sexual responses in my body, like chills on my skin, hardening nipples, and an embarrassing wetness between my legs as I'm trying to complete important and delicate lab work. And, oh, yes, sir, pull my pigtails, yes, sir. Oh, but do you understand what I'm saying, Professor, huh? Do you grasp the potential complications? Ow! Oh, implications? Oh, fuck! Ow! That the research and the release of a drug like this can have on the world. Particularly on women. Ah! Oh, fuck! It's going to put in my ass, Professor! Ah! Oh, fuck! I'm pulling my hair. It's actually pretty terrifying. Men could potentially use a specifically targeted variant of this drug on women as a new kind of date rape. I think I get them talking about politics or work or movies or pop culture all the while. And they're fucking their brains out in some disgusting public bathroom somewhere with the woman not even realizing what's happening. Ow! Oh, Professor, that hurts my ass. Oh, God. Yes. Choke me, Professor. Certain behavior, like for example, in our purely fictional alternate universe, neurosciences lab, you could use it on me consistently. I mean, like, over the course of, say, as little as a week, you could have me effectively programmed to wear tiny skirts and tight tops and completely inappropriate for the workplace, but totally appropriate for a stupid, shameless slut who clearly wants to be used and fucked and sexually degraded by her misogynistic co-workers. You could remove my desire to subvert the patriarchy and train my subconscious to groom myself every morning by shaving my legs, my pussy, applying horish makeup. Perhaps even putting my hair up in pigtails or something to satisfy some disgusting schoolgirl fetish for my boss, and engaging in completely obscene behavior for the free and unrestricted use by all employees. You could even program me to bend over on demand and lift my skirt, take any cock that's presented to me on my asshole. That's the power of this horrific drug, Professor. Oh god. Oh, Professor, it's too much. It's too much. My ass. Fuck. Thank you for taking it out of me. I feel better, sir. On my knees again? Yes, sir. Anyway, I know I'm outlining particularly extreme scenarios with my silly little thought experiments, but I'm saying all this to illustrate a point. I'm positive that was not the intent when you were researching this compound, right, Professor? You don't want the medication you developed to be perverted into some kind of new date rape drug, do you? Or worse, into some kind of long-term means of mind control for the permanent sexual enslavement of a woman. Women, especially women like me, are vulnerable, Professor. Because men are horrible. And if you give them power like that, they will abuse it. They'll take it to extremes, and before you know it, women won't be women anymore. They'll just be toys. Yes. On my face, all over my face. Yes, sir, all over me. You're right, Professor. I'm a stupid cum dumb. Yes, sir, I'll eat it for you. Thank you. So, anyway, what do you think? I think we should remove the drug from FDA consideration and destroy all the research. I really do. Oh, really? Yeah. Naturally. You're right. My imagination is getting better of me. Yes. Of course, you're right, Professor. I can't believe that I let myself fall into that trap. You're right, I'm letting emotion and personal trauma get in the way of objective scientific analysis. Oh my gosh, and to think I was giving you a hard time for doing the exact same thing earlier, with your wife. I mean, no, thank you for being so upfront and honest with me. I mean, yeah, of course, these risk factors can be mitigated, Professor, you're absolutely right. Yes, naturally. Of course, yeah. The drug is still relatively early in its approval process, rather. Excuse me. And there are several more iterations to the formula to come. Okay. Okay. And it, yeah, of course, it does hold great promise for Alzheimer's patients and other long-term dementia disorders. And, I mean, you know, not to mention its potential profitability for use in overall mental acuity enhancement, you know, for otherwise healthy individuals. And, of course, Professor, honestly. Honestly, I apologize. I mean, look at me. I've only been here for a week, and I'm already trying to change the operating parameters of your lab without having really given your in-place procedures and safety protocols a chance. I mean, wow. anyway, just thank you for listening, and honestly, thank you for your understanding about the whole leave your personal life and home request. I really am just here for the work. You know, I believe in the work, and I am honored to be here, truly. Let's see. Oops. Well, look, I've got that meeting with Dr. Olson in a few minutes, and so I think I need to go to the ladies' room and freshen up first, so if you'll excuse me. Hey, thanks again, Professor, and just so you know, I'm always available, you know, whenever you need me, okay? Okay. Thank you.